embodied. Weil Gott mehr mit deinen Zehen zu tun hat, als du denkst.
RevLab. Over the summer, I had the chance to sit down with my bestie and probably one of the greatest beings on this planet, Megan Rokel. She's a non-dual spiritual coach, a doctor in psychology, and part of the Kieran Trace gang as well. Both she and Kieran discovered over the course of their extensive work with clients that humans aren't just humans, but rather sometimes elves, or hobbits, or gnomes. Wait, what? Middle Earth is real? Yep. Let's dive in.
Thank you for doing this with me.
You're
fun.
Welcome. It's already fun. It's already fun.
So, yeah. When you walk around in the world, you don't just see plain old humans. You see gnomes, dwarves, elves.
Correct. Isn't that fun?
It's so fun.
Yes, exactly.
How come?
Well, who knows how come? I can't answer that. But there was a moment in time for me. It's happened different for Kieran Trace, who we both work with, where hers was a little more of a slow evolution and over 10,000 hours, you know, of working with people. And I certainly had the 10,000 hours of working with people. I'm a psychologist and I did a lot of therapy and talked to a lot of people about their lives every day. But there was a moment where after many hours of meditation the previous week, I walked in my old workplace and I just knew that my friends and colleagues were gnomes or elves or dwarves or hobbits. And I didn't know how I knew it. It was what some people might describe as a download where you just know information. And of course, many, many people have talked about this experience before. Many artists will say, the screenplay came or the painting came and I don't know what happened. It certainly wasn't me. I was just a channel. So it's sort of like that. It's just I'm an antenna, it seems like, for some information that's just true about humans. Who knows even the origin of it? I don't know how it is that we are a human being, but also a gnome or a hobbit. who knows? Maybe thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, our DNA was mixed with elemental beings or something. I have no real idea. There's certainly theories about that. There's people who talk about that. That's not really my interest. It's been just actually been to utilize this information in my own life and in the lives of my clients and students who are quite benefited by knowing what their sort of hybrid human avatar is.
Yeah. And you just recently started a podcast with Kieran Trace about... It's called Humans Decoded, and you go into all the details of these avatars, as you call them.
Yeah.
And as you were saying, it's hugely beneficial to know your code, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
How? Why?
Well, each avatar is quite different. We move in the world different. Kieran calls our avatar like our human suit. So if you were in a video game and you had you were allotted a certain suit, right? And that suit has certain skills. It has certain ways it moves. It has some benefits. It also has some liabilities. And it would be really good to know, you know, in the beginning of a video game, they have like, I don't know if you ever played, but like, you know, you choose such and such avatar and he's really strong and resilient, he might not be very book learned and he has all the tools, but he might not know how to use them. You know, whereas somebody else knows how to use all the tools, but they have no brawn and they have no strength and their energy dies easily or something. So you have little kind of graphs and scores, you know, high energy, low, you know, problem solving skills, something like that. It doesn't quite exactly translate like that, but sort of. It's like we get this avatar suit and we don't really know we're in one. We think that, you know, and then we have all of these stories about what a healthy or functional or intelligent human is.
Exactly. Right?
And that may or may not have anything to do with my natural blueprint and how I want to move in the world. So we break down in Humans Decoded, you know, how this avatar moves in the world, how that's so validating to hear that, like, this kind of food might be supportive, this kind of environment, this kind of home, these kind of clothes. My experience as a therapist and coach is that you just have people going, like, internally, there's just all these bells being rung where they're like, oh my gosh, like, they feel seen, they feel heard, like, in ways that they never had in their lives, mm-hmm. because they're really operating from a lot of conditioning versus their natural being.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we move through the world sort of assuming there's one type.
Yes.
And one size fits all.
Yes.
And then you kind of try it and it's like, no, it doesn't fit, but yes. Still I contort, maybe, maybe not. And it's miserable.
It's miserable.
It's miserable.
Yes.
So
yes.
How was it for you to, like, let your hobbitness, your hobbit, mm-hmm. fully bloom?
Yes. Oh, it's been so transformative and so relaxing. Like, that inner knowing thing, like, it's what I always, it's what my being has always wanted to, how she's always wanted to express herself.
Yeah.
But it's so important to have language for that and to have examples of that. Mm-hmm. So in our podcast, on our kind of like show notes, and we're working on a book that has like so many examples,
yes.
so that you can see your reflection in the world and see, like, oh, I actually might prefer to wear clothes like this, or I might prefer a home that's a little warmer lighting, for instance, or versus really bright. Or there's so many things that can be specific for your avatar. So for me, I joke in the podcast that, like, before I really had this download, I was living more like an elf.
Yeah.
Like, so meaning I would wear more form-fitting clothes. I had a haircut that was a little more like cool versus sort of natural and practical, which is a more of a hobbit way. I lived in a loft apartment with a lot of light, and it was always too bright and loud for me, quite frankly. And so realizing I'm a hobbit, like, it literally came like, you're a hobbit. And then seeing other colleagues and friends who were hobbits and like, oh yeah, we don't wear form-fitting clothes. We wear comfortable clothes because we're executors, as Kieran
yes.
says. So we move a lot. We have a lot of things we're doing with our body in the world. We learn through our body.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't just sort of, we need clothes that are really, really mobile, you know.
You got to move rocks.
We got to move rocks, right? We got to move rocks. We got to shovel dirt. We have a hobbit friend who literally puts like buckets of dirt in her house in the winter so that she can simply touch dirt. So, you know, she's not going to wear a form-fitting suit to touch her dirt on a daily basis. Like, that's what hobbits are for. So it's been so like being sort of relaxed and comfortable in my own skin is really what's been happening over the last several years, that mm-hmm. that I got the download myself and then have been allowing the natural expression to come to the fore. As Kieran and I say on the podcast, though, it takes several years because we have so many overlays of conditionings, or what we call pain body, that are belief systems and about everything under the sun, right? So right, like, this is how one has a family, this is how one, you know, this is how we definitely should eat, this is the ethical way, et cetera, et cetera,
yeah,
et cetera.
Yeah. This is the amount of bacon I'm allowed, you know?
Yes, yes.
It's not okay
to eat, you know, a pound a day bacon every other day, but actually for an elf it is. Actually,
yes.
That's probably going to be really supportive.
Yeah. That's what I've said on this podcast many times. I've never eaten that much meat in my whole life.
Yes, yes.
And as you're saying, it's so against all the stories.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, but it's the truth,
it's
right?
It's the truth.
This is what we vote for. We vote for truth, which is this body in its current manifestation with this suit thrives with animal protein.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's not bad. It's not right. It's not wrong. I can't actually even do anything fuck with it. Like, it's just what's true. And so we just, as a coach, I get to watch. It's really fun to watch somebody come into that and then have the realization of like, oh my God, I feel so supported. I have so much more energy. I have, you know, I'm thriving.
Yes.
As a result of this truth that I finally landed in. Yeah.
I love this point of, you know, if there's minds, you know, listening to this,
yes,
having lots of opinions about it,
yes,
versus the actual landing in the body, the actual experience in the body, and there's such a clear difference.
Yes.
How do you witness that, maybe within yourself and in your clients?
Yeah.
Just to make it really clear.
Right.
That we're
right.
Not, it's not an exchange of opinions here.
No, it's not. This is not
when you're saying it's
belief
truth.
Or, yeah, it's truth is truth. Right, exactly.
Yes.
Yes. it's a truth about earth. So it's sort of like, here's the earth. It has a kind of game, and it has and you have a kind of avatar, and there are certain like laws of physics, right? The gravity works at a certain rate, even though, you know, even something like gravity can shift. It has, you know, but it's a minuscule shift, and there's generally some rules of the game,
yeah.
And there's some things that you can rely on that are predictable. Now, in the larger picture. We are the source consciousness that helps to write the game. So we are both an avatar in the game and the original source consciousness that's writing the game. But so we're a player in the game, and in this game, so if I created a video game, there are certain, you know, if you head to the left on this map of this, you know, level of the game, you're going to hit a wall. If you head to the right, you're going to hit a pit. If you head straight, you're going to be able to leap over the water, you know, the river or something. That's the map inside of this game. So this is like that. It's just what's true. So in this map, E equals MC squared, do you know, rocks are heavier than feathers, and gnomes like research. You know,
yeah.
And it's just part of the landscape of Earth, I would say, and a part of the landscape of human coding. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's evolving. I'm sure we have something to do with that pre our life on Earth. Like, meaning, here's my guess, is that we choose our avatar like we would in a video game.
Mm-hmm.
And we go, well, this is this setup with these belief systems and this human suit is going to really set me up for resolving some karma and waking my ass up. I don't know. I'll sign for it. But yes, I'll sign for it. Exactly. Cool, I'm in. Tough game, Earth, I got to say.
Yeah.
But it's like that. So it's... The whole thing is malleable and evolving, but in this time, in the lifetime you have, in this human suit, here are kind of the rules of the game for this avatar. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just true. It's what works inside of this frame. And so, God, really good to know, right? It's like, oh, I signed up for the Earth game. I kind of forgot. And oh yeah, my avatar works really well like this,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it just makes for a more fulfilling life. It's not, we're not like... Or you could say for yourself winning the game, like meaning like you have a fulfilling, enjoyable life. The more you know about where you are and who you are and how this avatar and this place works.
Would you say it also allows for more, well, eventually freedom,
yeah,
to just fully be your hobbit self?
Yes, exactly.
Like as you're saying this, all the bells are ringing. You just feel so comfortable.
Yes.
And that certainly is the experience for me. Like, the more I allow that elfness to just be,
yeah,
there's so much more spaciousness and
yeah,
and hence freedom.
Yeah.
So, since my podcast is called Holy Embodied,
yes,
I'd say there's so much more space for God.
Yes,
I agree.
Absolutely, I love that. Absolutely, yes. You know, sometimes I think of God or truth or even delicious,
yeah,
or silence, they're all synonyms. Yeah. They're all the same. So exactly, what is not being free? It's, yeah, being limited, basically, by our belief systems, mm-hmm, and we have so many overlaying these natural expressions that are so free, and that are really unknown, right? Like, I don't know, like, I can get the Hobbit ways reflected back to me, and I can feel really validated, but I don't know what she's going to want to eat this morning. Like, I don't know. And the more I'm simply in my own skin and not operating from belief systems, so I've realized, oh, this woman tends to want to move this way, then there's so many more options on the table. Mm-hmm. There's so many more, just possibilities that are alive in a moment, mm-hmm, and that I can listen for, that were just slightly hemmed in when I thought, like, well, this is what one should eat, and this is when somebody should wake up. And for instance, I was raised by a fairy mother who had so much energy in the morning, got up and moved so fast in the morning, she was ready to like tackle the day 5 minutes into when she woke up. I'm a hobbit, I wake up much slower. It's a much more slow and steady wins the race for me. And so... So for me, finding my way into my own skin, the freedom, mm-hmm, to spend 2 hours in my bedroom in the, mm-hmm, morning, just kind of pottering and doing my thing and maybe doing a little craft or a little reading or something and slowly eating my food versus my elf friends who might be up and out, you know, fairly quickly. Yeah, it's the freedom and the liberation to be who you are and to have all these other options on the table, which has a lot to do with the healing and the waking up. Certainly it has to do with the avatar, but like you could know who your avatar is, but still be believing, you know, untrue thoughts and really, yeah, hemmed in. Yeah. So we, you know, in our work, the majority of what I do is not talking about avatars. It's talking about your liberation from your belief systems, your pain bodies, and coming into your own skin. But then part of coming into your own skin and the liberation of that and the possibilities that come online with that is also that there's this particular avatar. So it's part of a larger liberation story that we're helping people realize, let's say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not just exchanging like your, let's say, old identities,
yes,
with a new one, with the identity of, oh, I'm an elf.
Yes.
And this is what an elf is supposed, yes, to look like and eat like and be like.
Yes.
It's not that.
It's not that. You know, exactly. Identities I'm not a big fan.
No.
Still.
They're around.
They're totally around. But most identities are built from a concept that there's a separate self in here operating something. And frankly, most identities are built around pain. They're built around, like, so for instance, I had a real identity as a doer. I still do. It still comes around, you know, and I do a lot in a day and I'll do for everybody else. And what really was driving that was actually a belief of not good enough, that I have to then do a lot and be good enough to then be worthy. So, but man, I would have put everything on that identity. Like, this is who I am. This,
yeah,
is what I do. This is in my blood and my DNA, for goodness sake. So when we're talking about the avatars, we're actually not talking about identity. It's, again, that human suit. It's literally baked into the cake. It's not something that it's not something that was conditioned in. You know, it's much more like an animal, right? Where an animal doesn't have an identity. They just fly south for the winter, you know, or they just...
Instinct.
Yeah, exactly. It's just part and parcel of their skin and their bones and their being, their energetic signature. And so, yes, exactly. The liberation story isn't that I traded in my doer identity for being a hobbit. Mm-hmm. It's that my doer identity is seen through, mm-hmm, and my natural ways can come up from the depths, mm-hmm, and they just do themselves. I don't do them. I don't like decide I'm this way. Rather, it is what I am, right? Meaning my body, my actual being, wants to stay in bed for an hour.
Yeah.
And it generally overlaps with being a hobbit. But again, that's not an identity. That's not something I claimed. That's something I chose. It's just something comes out of my skin. It just comes out of my being.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we need a lot of validation for that from each other, which is why the podcast, and because we run so quickly into, like, for instance, with me and coming, you know, the belief that I'm a doer, staying in bed all day, or, you know, for an hour, an extra hour, is like, boy, does that come up against my identity. And there's a lot of fear there that I would, I don't know, I'll just fucking die. I'll just, you know, I'll be abandoned for sure if I don't accomplish a lot in a day and I don't help 10 people out and I don't, you know, do. Mm-hmm. So to let myself just be a hobbit, just be much more relaxed being, you're going to, you know, we don't really say this on the podcast, but you're going to run into all your pain bodies. You're going to run into a lot of fear to just be yourself, because conditioning would say it's not safe to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a mouthful. Sorry.
No, yeah. All okay. Good. All good. I'm considering, where do we go from this? Like, there's a path of celebrate each other as the avatars that we are. But there's also the path of this paradox that the more you really know yourself, you really know the depth of who you are, what you are, the less you are.
Yes.
Like, where do we go here?
Yes.
What's...
yes. That's right. Yes, exactly. We're talking about this... I mean, the people, I'm sure your listeners are aware, you know, you're this wholly embodied. We're talking about who are we really? And we're talking about letting go of identities, letting go of separate self, seeing through all of that to just be life itself and let life live you, let's say. Now, it's also a paradox that life, which is oneness, God, source, whatever, allness, wants to be particular. It wants to be a particular thing.
It's not random.
And it likes every flavor. It would like all the colors of the rainbow. And then it would like all these different avatars. Yeah. It seems to be, there's about 6 avatars on planet Earth, and life wanted to do that. Yeah. Oneness, and so, which, if metaphor of color, it's pure light, and then there's this refraction, right, of all those colors. And that's what's beautiful, actually, is the reflection, is the multiple colors, multiple facets. It gets a bit of boring, maybe, to be just pure light. Yeah. So, yes, we are allness and oneness and a particular facet of that.
Yeah.
But there's no separate self operating that thing. And that is the real, that's why it's so different than identities. That there's not a, like I'm not, it's so different. It's hard to talk about.
I know.
You know, it's hard.
I mean, that's the real pickle.
It's a real pickle.
Like fully being Megan, fully being Leela.
Yes. Sometimes I think about it in like the gender discussion. There's some folks who think of gender as nothing but a construct. It's all just that. And obviously there's a huge piece of that. We are conditioned to gender express in a certain way. And there seems to be something to biology. and that biology, or our being, including our energy being. So for instance, I'm a female in this lifetime. And I think Kieran has said I've been a male quite a bit. So I have a male energy in my system. And that's just true. Like, I get men. I sort of speak male. Just having been a man a lot. And I identify, when I would watch movies as a kid, I would watch, you know, it was boys and men starring in the films. It wasn't girls and women. And they identified with them more than the girls and women. It's shifting a little bit more now. But that's something inside the being, right? And it's something particular. And it's not something just built from experience. It's not made up from my mind. Mm-hmm. It's something very visceral and real. And actually, even people who are, like, I have a trans client who, his body, he's wanted to change his body because actually energetically he feels more male. He always did. And so there's something energetic or something really true that's baked into the cake that isn't just playing with identity, playing with, you know. So we are talking about something wholly embodied. We're not talking about conditioning. We're talking about, when we're talking about avatars, we're talking about something one could say, from God. Not that it's all not God, not that it's all not right conditioning and distortion and belief systems and pain, and it's all God playing with God. But it's a, let's say, one could say a pure expression of God as an avatar expression versus as a doer identity, right? There's a lot more man-made stuff on and a lot more sort of pain and occlusion from pure life expressing itself when I've got my doer identity engaged versus my hobbit being doing her thing.
That's that very clear difference of the sensation in the body. My doer feels pretty constricted and tight.
Yes.
And she's busy.
Yes.
She's got lots to worry about, lots to think about.
Yes. It's so mental.
It's so mental. As opposed to just that relaxing. Yeah. I love it. Relaxing into the true avatar you are.
Yes.
Knowing that's not all of you.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
It's so key to the liberation piece that you mentioned.
Yeah. That just feels like, as Kieran says, as we all say, it's an exhale. And it's so clear. And it's clear to everyone listening, what feels like an exhale in your body.
Yes.
There's this spaciousness.
Yes.
And if you follow that thread.
Yes.
There's all this God.
There's all this
God. All this obvious God.
Yes.
I mean, the other thing's God too. Yeah, it's less obvious though.
Yes, yes, yes. That's a great way to say it. Exactly. It's just less obvious. There's more filters and things.
Yeah.
Versus, the exhale, that natural exhale, relaxed, comfy in your own skin. There, one could say there's more God. It's just more of a realization of God, of the truth of our being. Yes. Yeah.
So you're saying it's... For all of your clients, most of your clients, it's such a relief to know what they are.
Yes, yes.
And you said there's six avatars.
Yes.
Maybe you want to say what they are?
Sure, I'll say, you want me to say what they are and a little bit about them?
Tease people into your
podcast. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe we're not
lots spinning. More available on our podcast.
Maybe we have to whisper.
Maybe we have to whisper. Just a little secret for y'all.
Spilling all the tea.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just spill a little tea, get you a little taste. So there are fairies. Fairies are our essential beings. They follow essence, as Kieran says. They are very light. They are very fun. Their prime directive is fun, fun, fun. They are colorful. They are bright. They are the life of the party. And then they also crash like a son of a gun. My ex-husband's a fairy. It was a lot of up and down cycles. But they are often brilliant, innovative. A lot of artists, a lot of most pop singers, most drag queens are beautiful fairies. They are just the life of the party. They're when you've met a fairy, you know it.
Yes.
Even if it's a heterosexual cis male, my ex-husband was colorful and bright, and he's shone the brightest in the room. And they're on a stage most of their life. There is, we've been saying on our podcast that they're built for Instagram. A lot of fairies on Instagram because they love to be in the limelight. So fun. The next on the scene, and sometimes I talk about them in this order. It's sort of like. Sometimes think of the avatars as resonating with the chakras.
Yeah.
So if we go, we're starting top down. Fairies are those really high vibin kind of, that third eye kind of
crown
on the top
chakra?
Of the head, crown chakra. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's sort of like first and second chakra. And then when we get to elves, it's like second and third. And then we get to hobbits, it's third and fourth and fifth. And so we're moving down. And so the next on the scene would be elves, which is also kind of third eye into the throat chakra. Very communicative, very visionary. So our elves are the visionary types, the CEOs, the architects, the business leaders, the podcasters, the ones who have organized plans because they see into the future quite a bit. I would say fairies see even a little further into the future, but they're not big on those full visions. Mm-hmm. They're already onto the next cool thing. and the next innovative things. I might not even say cool, because really the cool is reserved for the elves.
Obviously.
I mean, I'm sitting next to one. It's so obvious. It's the most obvious thing in the room. She's the coolest cat ever. Kieran, also fucking cool. I, years ago, wanted to be as cool as elves. Truth is, I'm not. I'm warm. I'm not cool, because I'm a hobbit. I'm adorable, but I'm not cool. The elves are the cool ones. Because they're a little outside, I like to say that they're a little outside society. They're a little, I don't give a fuck, because they're the system builders. And so it's your Steve Jobs, it's your, you know, your major film directors, your these kinds of things, but also just your friend who has the vision for what you should do with your business. It's your friend who has the vision for the day. You often have the idea of what we'll do today, and I'm the one driving the truck and getting the snacks. You know? So they are cool. They are sort of classic clothes and beauty. They move with energy, so they read energy in a room. And they like efficiency. Man, do they like efficiency. And so they're moving in a way that that is efficient, that is streamlined, that follows the idea. And that's what they're interested in. They're interested in a lot of ideas. And execution, they could give or take it. Was it last night where you were cooking an egg? We were in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And you had an idea to have an egg with your meal. And as an elf, you want it done efficiently. Kieran is a master with the microwave. So we're cooking the egg in the microwave, and it blew up. And as a hobbit, I'm like, I have no problem with a slow meal being made. And that egg isn't quite right. And so I immediately thought you would recook the egg.
Yeah. And
you were like, oh, absolutely not. You were going to scrape it off the bottom of the pan that exploded. Totally fine. We're moving on. You know? Yeah. We're already talking about something, you know, for later in the evening. And, you know, the meal has already been made. So, yeah. Efficient.
Mental.
Yeah. Mental. Yeah. A lot of ideas. Yeah. Which can get you a little, you know, like fairies and elves can struggle a little bit with getting their body needs met.
Yeah.
With being embodied and getting grounded. Mm-hmm. So it's nice for you to have a hobbit friend or a gnome or a dwarf friend to kind of ground that energy. Hobbits are the next one. They're kind of more associated with the heart chakra. They're very heart on their sleeve. They're very heart-centered. They're, you know, we're the ones that take the ring to Mordor. We are true blue people, generally. We're warm, quite sensitive. We're the, as Kieran says, the master executors. So we do a lot in a day. We're the one who's going to take the ring to Mordor. So that might mean on a practical day here, I'm stocking the truck with snacks. I'm making sure the truck has gas. I'm getting us where we need to go. I'm smiling at the you know, cashier that gave us the ice cream. And we are homey, home loving. Often master craftsmen and builder types. So we aren't the architect, but we're the builder, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you see the food that they make or the art that they make, there's going to be heart in it, and there's going to be a handmade quality to it. We're very homey, crafty, hands-on. We've made everything DIY. We're making everything with our hands. I often say I learn through my feet. Like, I might not have the idea first. I'm going to walk into a room and look at the pantry and touch all the things in the pantry, and then the idea for the meal comes.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
And you're so warm and friendly.
Friendly, and yeah.
Like
huggable.
Spirited. Like, yeah. You're not uplifted. I don't know if I ever saw you in a bad mood. I don't think that exists.
I can be, but it doesn't last long. Yeah. Generally
you're
uplifted.
Not moody at all.
Yeah.
Just generally balanced.
Yeah, it's generally balanced. Right, exactly. That's a hobbit, is generally balanced. If you think in the terms of the chakras, right, they're right in the middle of the body. Most of the time, bodies, we can't really know an avatar through a body. But I might make the exception with hobbits. Because we have this sort of middle, we're the middle of Middle Earth. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're right in the middle. So our bodies often look like that. They're quite balanced. Yeah. I haven't actually met a hobbit that doesn't have a very balanced, an often athletic body, where the meaning like the arms You know, it'd be like that Da Vinci, you know, drawing or whatever, where the arms are the right proportion to the legs or whatever. Not right, but just balanced.
Yeah.
And then, yes, our moods and our energy is quite balanced. So we sort of, you know, we're slow and steady and we get there. You know, all the avatars, as Kieran has this metaphor, we're walking through a forest and we all start and end at the same time. But it would be the hobbit that, like, walks steadily all the way through the forest and doesn't have up and down cycles and doesn't get too moody and hide away and doesn't make a fuss and is just, you know, and has other snacks for everybody.
I mean, it's, yeah, hobbits are just great. Yeah. Generally great.
We generally are loved by everybody, I think, because we're in the middle. We're actually not too many degrees away from any of the other avatars.
Okay.
That's my theory about why hobbits are so beloved, why as hobbits are often the unlikely hero in a movie. We give the example like Oprah or Ellen DeGeneres or Brad Pitt or literally the hobbits in the Lord of the Rings movies. These are warm, affable people who are like in the center stage. That they're not cool, but they're lovable. They're everybody's like, you know, like everybody loves Brad Pitt. Everybody loves Oprah. Do you know? Because they're a hobbit. Because they're just balanced. They're kind of a balanced, friendly, kind, affable, middle of the road human.
No drama there.
Not much drama. Yeah, you're not going to get a lot of drama now. We all have these dark sides or these kind of ways we can go, and that would be Gollum, right? Where, but Gollum doesn't really harm, right? Gollum's not making war. Gollum's just sort of tucked into himself and hiding out in his own misery.
Yeah.
That's how I can get moody, is I can get kind of stuck in, as Kieran says, and not get out of my own way. So it's good for a hobbit to have an elf around to get him out of the house, to stir the pot a little bit, add a little light into the room, because we can get a little stuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
But not generally moody. That would be reserved for our next up, which would be gnomes.
Gnomes. Yeah.
So gnomes are a little more with the sort of solar plexus and sacral chakra. I like the sacral chakra for them because they're quite sensual people. Gnomes are, there are researchers, or as Kieran says, they like the 360-degree amount of information about something. So they are a bit bookish, artistic. They will, I have a gnome father, I have a gnome good friend. They love to go really deep into whatever in the world they're researching. They may or may not use that information, but they know everything. Like, I have a gnome friend who has 100 books just on trees. And she's read a little bit of all of them. And she also just likes to have the books.
Yeah.
They are collectors.
Yes.
They want the information. They want the information. They want the information. I have a dear cousin who's a gnome who, her dwarf husband and her fairy, elf, and hobbit children have been very helped by knowing that their mother is a gnome and their wife is a gnome, because now when she asks for all the information of exactly what happened that day on the soccer practice, they'll give it to her, and they'll just say, like, Mom wants the information. My father wants, I was helping him pick paint colors recently, and oh my God, the man, you know, he researched every paint color and made sure he got the best quality, and, you know, wanted to know how long it would last so that if he did repaint again in 10 years, you know, I mean, on and on and on. So they're amazing, though. They make... They're makers. They make beautiful, amazing things because they go so deep into something.
Yeah, my father's a gnome too,
yes.
And I don't think anyone has a better compost than he does.
Yes,
because he's done all the research and he does very specific things. I have no idea. I don't get it.
Yes,
but I think his compost is the best.
It's the best. There's no. I would 100% defer to a gnome on pretty much making anything.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not they actually get there, because they go so deep.
Yes. You know what I mean? Yeah. I know.
There's a collapse. There's a disorganization. There's unfinished projects all over the place kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because it's so cumbersome. You know, like to an outsider, it's so cumbersome. Now, they might love it, but like my father used to be in the basement for weeks kind of developing his film and working on his kimchi and whatever. And, you know, sometimes we'd get kimchi and sometimes we'd get beautiful photos. Sometimes not. Sometimes we wouldn't quite get there.
Yeah.
So, but, oh my goodness, the best chefs, the best artists, the amazing, you know, those musicians that have unbelievable artistry where their hands will do miracles.
Mm.
Those are gnomes. Those, because they'll take the time.
So very sensual, very...
Very sensual.
Into form as well.
Yes, very deep into form, exactly.
Deep into form.
Deep into form. Sometimes so deep they don't get up. Connoisseur, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Connoisseur of all things sensual, all yeah. things artistic, all things visual, all things of the senses of the body. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. I want a gnome to make me the meal. I want a gnome to, you know, make that artisan mustard. You know, I want them to make, you know, if I'm going to have my walls painted, they're going to use the gold, you know, the stuff with the gold shimmer in it that's just, you know, a little bit, just so subtle. And they're going to use some technique to put it on that, you know, is, you know, it takes 12 hours, but it makes it look so rich and so beautiful.
Yeah. It's great to have all these gnome friends who do all the research for you and then yes. tell you, look,
yeah, exactly.
use this yarn
use this
or
yarn. Yes.
use this blah, blah, blah for your blah, blah, blah. And it's like, thank
yes.
you. Because I would never, ever take the time
no, absolutely.
To sit down and research.
Absolutely. Yeah, you as an elf, you might research just enough to get your idea, you know, to go, like, know what you need. Yeah, exactly. you don't mind research, but it's for the efficiency. It's
yeah.
for your idea, and you want to get it executed as soon as possible.
Yeah.
You don't really care that much about the rest. But exactly, if the gnome did it for you, how efficient is that?
Yeah.
Which you love. So exactly. Yeah, and having all the avatars around the fellowship is so beautiful.
And then we drop all the way down into the root.
The root chakra,
and
yeah.
There's
those
dwarfs.
Yep, there they are. Drop down. Those earthly, made of rock, as Kieran says, dwarves. They are our warriors. They are our hard workers. They are the ones drilling to put the piping in the ground. They are the women who... they threw the party for the soccer team, and they made sure all the families were invited because they're warriors and they're family clan people. So, and they are going to do the work to make sure the family is together, to make sure the job is done, to, you know, make sure all the chairs are put out so all the families can come to the soccer party, and make sure all the wine is the current popular brand, by the way, of wine. And it's going to have a little flash. It's going to have a little metal. It's going to, because they're literally like people made of rock who want to live in rock. They have like steel and metal decor. The women are going to have big rocks of jewels and gold chains. You can know a dwarf woman because she's got a big chain around her neck and a big purse with 100 different tools in it that just in case her family needs it. You know, she's got the wine opener. She's got jewelry. If you'd like to wear some, she's got hair product. She's got all the tools, because they're builders. They're building the base of things, right? A hobbit might build you the table. The dwarf is building the concrete posts, do you know? And same with the women. They're going to build that family structure, and they're, I have a good friend who has a dwarf mother who would, like, she was going on vacation and she needed somebody to take care of her dog. And her mother was like, well, of course I'll take, like, that's just what one does. Like, it was not a question that she was going to take care of this dog because she takes care of family. She takes care of business. She does the duty. You know, it's a lot of duty, principle, rules and regs, and family honor. You know, this is dwarfs. So, like, if you hire a dwarf, they are going to be on time. They're going to have driven the truck themselves. They will probably own the truck and the trailer that is going to, you know, bring the stuff for the job. And then they'll be there 12 hours. My stepfather is a dwarf. The resilience in that man. I mean, we're all done. You know, I'm a hobbit. I can work. But, you know, I'm done hour 6. He's not done till hour 12.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So major executors and really that super hands-on, that foundational, like the root chakra, if that was foundational work projects. Yeah, a lot of policemen, a lot of police women. I can't imagine a military or police woman who isn't a dwarf,
mm-hmm.
who could be in those atmospheres. Yeah, they are also big-hearted, you know. Hobbits and dwarves share that. So they you know, if you're part of their clan, they will love and protect you forever.
Loyal. Right?
Loyal.
Yeah.
So loyal. The
yeah.
most loyal. Yeah.
And then humans. But they fall out of the chakras.
They fall out of... they fall out of the chakras. I don't know where the humans are. That's a real... puzzle.
I mean, but it makes sense that they're not part of the chakra light.
It's
true. Kind of does, no?
It kind of does. In, you know, just a little confession here. I literally just forgot about humans.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you for remembering. They absolutely are part of what we're talking on our podcast, and they're amazing. They are an avatar, but they don't have a special name, and they don't have maybe a place in the chakras, because they're here, it seems to me, as an avatar. Humans are here to play out the script,
yes,
of what is already going on. They're not here to explore different things. And that's the lifetime. That's the avatar. So, I mean, this sounds terrible, and I don't totally mean this, but you know, what is it called? An NPC, a non-player character in a yes. video game, right? Yes. Where obviously humans have souls. They're alive. But they're a little, they're not fully in the game.
Like liberation game.
In the liberation. Yeah. This is it. This is the one I wanted to say. But exactly. They're not in the liberation and awakening game, let's say. They're not interested. They're interested in running the current programming. And so you're going to see humans in those role. As Kieran says, they're very interested in roles. Yeah. And that's about it. So they're interested in being a mother. And they're often like amazing mothers because they're so good at executing the role. Mm. So whatever the current societal standard is for role, of the role of the mother, they're doing that. So they're at all their kids' soccer games. They are making the meal every night. It might not be the most delicious meal like a gnome would make, but it's on the table every night at 6 p.m. And they're going to go to every game, and they're going to have their trunk full of the chairs that are needed for the soccer game. And they're going to make those cupcakes for the kids' birthday party for their neighbors. And you can rely on them to be there yes. when the neighbors need them, because that's what the role of a neighbor is. They show up. They are yeah. really show up reliable, maybe the most reliable of all the avatars, because they will reliably do their role. So if they're your employee, they will do it. You yes. can rely on them for 40 years. Yes. They will show up and be. And so all the humans I know, they have been in their current position, whether it's work or their home life or whatever, and they are so reliable. They're a little outside the liberation game, but they play the human role game really well. And they're often really kind and polite. The liability with that is that if you aren't in your role, so if I, you know, yeah. you know, you're not being kind at the grocery store to the cashier who was a dick, you know, then, you know, you're outside your role. This is a real problem. So often humans don't, you know, there's a little bit of a conflict with the other yeah. avatars. Yeah. yeah. Because the other avatars care more about, for instance, a gnome is going to care more about that information, or they're going to care more about their artistic expression of their meal. And so they might not get dinner on the table till 8 p.m., whereas the human says, we need to eat at 6, because that's what we do.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. It's a little harder, the interracial understanding yes, with a human. Like, yes. I have a human mom.
Yes.
And, yeah, we...
Yeah, not a lot in
very
common.
Very different.
Very different.
Yeah. Love, of love. Course, is there.
Love
course.
Is there, yeah.
But, yeah, so different.
Exactly. Yeah, we've been working on these Venn diagrams, you know, yeah. I've done a lot of them at this point. I've maybe done 20 or 30 of them. But I struggle to where the humans overlap. Yeah. They're the least overlapping of the other yeah. ones. So not a bad idea for humans to be with other humans. Yes. That can be a really good match. Or, you know, just for all of us other avatars who are probably your listeners, to just know that humans they're really resilient. So you can come outside your role, but if you go back into it, even just throwing them a little bit of a bone, it really works. And you know that. Yeah. Yeah. It really works. you can get along just fine.
Yeah. If you yeah. send your mom, your yes. human mom, a couple of hearts every now and then, that's it.
That's it. Exactly. You've executed the role enough, you know, and it's no skin off your nose, and you might even really want to, do you know? I would say, and exactly, you just throw those little role movements out there. You're good to go. Yeah. yeah.
And that's what's so beautiful about this whole thing, like yes. this avatar world.
Yes.
Or this game even. Like the living with each other becomes so much more joyful and playful, I'd say, if you get that it's not just one type, not everyone's an elf.
Yes, yes.
And it's, yeah, it's yes. it's beautiful to be able to, like, give a human what they need, give yes. a dwarf what they need, or receive what an elf needs.
And yes.
I love this diversity is something I'm so grateful for, and I celebrate deeply these days. I'm like, yes. Like,
absolutely. The diversity is so yummy. It's so great. It's so rich. Exactly. This fellowship is amazing. It's like painting with all the colors. Like, yes. You really just, it's so delicious. It's so delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, same with colors, as you're saying, the deep, I don't know, red brings out more of a green.
Yes, exactly. They're so complementary. It's exactly. Yes, we bring out the best in each other.
Yes.
We complement each other. It takes a fellowship, everything. And it's so great. Like in our community, we just came off of retreat, and we have every year on retreat, we have more of our students, more of our people, are more landed in their avatar. And so we have this, and everybody's just a little more relaxed in there. So you watch, like, the elves are having so much fun playing with the elves, but then, so they all go off and do elf stuff. And then, which means moving fast, playing in trees, going on a walk, having a workout, you know, eating fish. And then coming back and like hanging out with their husband, you know, so meaning like, it's so fun to watch people just, all of us come more into our skin and then find those rhythms and those ways to play with each other in these natural settings. Yeah. Because none of us grew up with that. None of us grew up with knowing what our avatar was, for goodness sake, this is all so new. And in families, because I did want to mention, like, this doesn't map onto families, meaning you have a gnome father and a human mother and they have an elf child. It's not like two elves make another elf or another, or a human and gnome make a dwarf or something. No, it seems to be totally random. But so it's like, my cousin is such a good example of, like, she has everybody but humans in her family. This information has made everybody have so much more fun, where, like, how they have dinner together, right? The dwarf wanted dinner to be exactly at 6 o'clock. similar to humans, actually.
Yeah.
And what are the rules, right? Here are the rules. But he wasn't enjoying his fairy son, who doesn't want to sit down for dinner, actually would like to eat not much, mostly fruit, and a lot of carbs here and there, and stand up and basically do a show for his family during dinner time. And then the dwarf is entertained, the gnome is entertained. Everybody can have much more fun when they've accepted who they are and who everybody else is, which doesn't mean compromise. It means celebration. It means everybody comfortable in their own skin. And then, oh my God, the family dinner is so much more fun when the hobbit gets to have 5 pieces of bread and nobody's telling him that he shouldn't have so many carbs. And the fairy gets to eat all fruit, and nobody tells him he needs to eat a steak, you know. And the dwarf gets to have the steak and nobody tells him, you know. So it's just, and then they just enjoy each other so much, right? Because it's just so delicious.
Yeah. So. Rules out of the window. Goodbye.
Rules out of the window. Yes, absolutely. Rules for everything out of the window. What's true?
It's true. Mm-hmm. Love it. Good note to end on. Thank you.
Thank you. What a pleasure.
Megan Rokel was that, about Hobbit's truth and the liberation game. You can find her and Kieran's podcast on Spotify. It's called Humans Decoded. And we will meet back here in 2 weeks. Merci vielmals fürs Zuhören. RefLab.